welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review an Australian wine from California, namely the Greg Norman Estates Knights Valley Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It truly is good to be here after a period of convalescence.
Yes, Scott's referring to the fact that for a month I was sick, and for what, 2 weeks, you've been sick.
Yeah.
With vacation. We haven't really done episodes that much since November, and this is January, the middle of January. But we're back now, and we're getting back into the swing of things. On tonight's show, we are going to get back to naming 2023's Wine of the Year. We never did that, did we? No, we didn't, because we were sick.
We chit-chatted about it,
but we never did it. Tonight we will. We are also going to review a wine, and you heard what I said, a wine from Australia made in California. That is correct. Greg Norman Estates. They have been around since 1996. I know this, but also because they say it on their label. Like that's
so.
Something that's exciting to anyone. Greg Norman Estates, he's the golfer. You know that. His involvement, I mean, yeah, he originally was a founder of it. I mean, he was involved, but it's more of my name is on it, and I own a big stake of it, but other people kind of do the work kind of thing. I think his daughter is heavily involved in it now, too. Originally, they were Australian wines, mind you, naturally. Shiraz, Merlot, and Cabernet, with some whites, like a Chardonnay, I believe. I don't even think they did Sauvignon Blanc originally. I think it was just those four wines. And I can recall the 97, I want to say. Merlot was great. It got like a 91 from the Spectator, and we drank the shit out of it whenever we could find it. Because it was new to the market. It was like $14. It's still around. I don't know if it's any good or not anymore. I haven't seen it in a while.
Didn't we do a blend on the show of his?
We've done their Shiraz on the show. Okay. And it's fine. It was perfectly fine for a
early days in the Wine Vault.
It never aired. But I've had multiple different things over the Shiraz, the Cab, I believe, and then the Merlot. But I haven't had the Merlot in a long time. It probably is decent, but who knows. This, though, later, they moved into, or whomever owns them really, moved them into California as well, just to, increasing their market share. Old Bridge Cellars Napa, California is actually who this is distributed by. Who knows what that is? I'm not familiar with that, but it is probably just a licensing company who is making this wine under the Greg Norman name. So they source the grapes, and then they name it Greg Norman.
At least that's our speculation. We're being very speculative.
That's all we've got. As a portfolio, like I said, used to have the Australian stuff, and they still do. And from Australia, they have their Limestone Coast Shiraz, which is fine. The Limestone Coast Shiraz Cabernet. That's what I was thinking. And then the Limestone Coast Cabernet. They don't have the Merlot anymore, apparently.
Boo.
And they have a, out of New Zealand, probably a licensed Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
Then from California, they have a Napa Valley Reserve Cabernet. They have this Knights Valley. They have one from Paso, a Cabernet from there. I'm lining up for that. They have a Sonoma Coast Pinot. They have a Santa Barbara Pinot. And they have a Russian River Chardonnay. That's what they got. Are any of those things really that exciting when you realize it's more of a licensing than it is probably an original OG estate grown product? I don't know. I mean, you've got to really consider that. They do have winemaker's notes for this, and we'll go through that. And it looks like the winemaker is the same for a lot of this Californian stuff. His name is Bill Nancaro. Bill Nancaro. So that's good. You have a uniform winemaker, so that's promising, isn't it? Don't you think, Scott?
Yeah. Promising. Yeah. Well, I like my winemakers to wear uniforms.
There you go. He probably even wore pants. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I mean, you know.
Wilfred likes bottomless uniforms.
Oh, that's right. I just like the crotch cut out, just like a barn door. It's like peekaboo.
The barn door's not
a flap.
A crotch.
A flap.
It's a flap.
Yes, a flap.
That'd be more of a barn door when you're talking about bottoms.
Yes, I just knock on the door. Oh, it's not locked. That means I get to come in. You get what I said? Yeah. It's better if it's on the front and the back, folks. Yeah.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Scott.
Oh, Lord. Wilson.
He's on like, it's synergy is what it is.
Synergy.
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 Yes. You're thinking what I'm thinking is what I'm thinking.
Oh, Lord.
Are you thinking that? Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are. Hopefully not, because that would make you a felon in Croatia. So, you know. But in the United States, it's legal.
Is it now?
Yes. Lithuania, also a felon. Italy. They actually call you cool in Italy. They're like, you're buongiorno, you're fantastic. That's where James Suckling, that's why he lives in Tuscany.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're a bunch of perverts there. So, yeah.
Well, you would know about perverts.
Oh, I would. That's why I know you. So, one of the big things tonight on the show, it's not that big, but it is. New glassware, folks.
Ooh.
I received the Riedel. Is it the Extreme Wine Wings glass, Cabernet Merlot? And they are extreme. They are very large. We were discussing whether or not they're bigger than the Grand Bordeaux, Grand Cru Bordeaux glasses. And it's debatable. So we're going to be drinking that. I've drank several things out of these glasses. And what I can say is, if you have a bottle that you're not so sure of, that's, you're a little, you know, like a kind of a weedy, chalky Bordeaux, like one of those cheap things from Costco, Put them in this glass, because it kind of erases some of the sins of the wine. Now, if something I think is over extracted, purple death, that kind of crap,
nothing you can do for that.
No. You're really going to know it in these glasses. But it does smooth out some of those rough edges on some weedier wines,
and
which is nice.
You may have seen this style glass out of a finer dining restaurant. The Wing Series simply has a bulbous expansion at the base of the wine glass, then it tapers slightly and then it expands back out. So in theory, the wing, the bulbous portion at the base of the wine, is to help aerate the wine as you swirl it around.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Now, you don't see a lot of these out there from Riedel, because Riedel charges a shit ton for them. They are literally $50 a glass.
Okay.
So don't break these glasses, Scott.
Yeah.
Where Grand Bordeaux's are half that. They're $25 a glass, even though they're huge. So, there you go. But Knights Valley, back to the wine. Knights Valley is also a place that Scott and I really enjoy. It is Sonoma, but they say it's the bridge between Sonoma and Napa. Often, you're going to find a wine that can be a little more tannic, a little bit more punchy in the face, backboned wines. Edge, we had that from Signorello. Signorello. Yeah, I remember him. We had Edge. We've had Rodney Strong stuff from there. In the same price range. This is $22. These things are $22, by the way. Behringer, the Knights Valley. I just bought some for $12 because Giant Eagle had them priced wrong. Those are three that are right in that range, although Behringer actually is more like $35. But the main comparison, the main competition for this wine would be Edge and Rodney Strong, but probably more Rodney Strong because Edge is harder to find.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
A bigger, you know, Sonoma, we love Sonoma cabs.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine. They're more drinkable, more approachable, more.
But Knights Valley.
Knights Valley can be a little bigger.
Mm-hmm. A little bit bigger.
A little more brawn.
If you're going to label something Knights Valley, it better be good. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
It better be good, Greg, you and your LIV cronies. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, Oh, Greg Norman. That's right. Greg Norman Estates, Knights Valley. I was thinking Rodney Strong because I was probably hoping. Greg Norman Estates, it's not their estate. It's not. Don't call yourself estates if you don't own the ground on which the grapes are grown and you don't have, this is a factory, but that's okay. That's really going to bother me, Greg Norman Estates, but I'll just let it go. The Cabernet from Knights Valley, the 2021 vintage. This has not been reviewed until tonight. We are the first known reviewers of this wine, at least ones that they've never published any. They say critical acclaim, not yet rated. In other words, critical acclaim, no.
Nobody.
So, the winemaking for this wine, and I believe it's 100% Cabernet, too. Winemaking, the fruit was picked in the cool of the morning and transferred to the winery, where it was destemmed and crushed into small open-top tanks. Okay, it would be harder to put it in the bottom, but once fermentation was complete, the wine was pressed and transferred into neutral vessels for aging.
What?
Neutral vessels for aging. I think that's stainless steel. Why wouldn't you put it on oak? Why wouldn't you put it on oak? Well, we're going to find out real quick if it's on oak. But neutral vessels. I mean, it could be neutral oak is what they're talking about. So it's not charred.
No, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say neutral vessels for uncharred oak.
Maybe they put it in pine. Pine is neutral. I find it's an excellent aging technique. Pine. Yeah.
Pine box. You should be aged in a pine box by now, you degenerate.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Well, in the glass, nevertheless, that's a little... Why wouldn't you put this on oak?
This is concerning me. I got issues and concerns already.
They put staves in there?
All right.
And by the way, folks, staves are not just a wine thing. That's a big issue in bourbon making, too. So often you'll see some of these crapo bourbons that have been aged allegedly for a long time or a little bit too dark, darker than they should be. And the reason why is because they're cheating. They're aging that bourbon, or whiskey, whatever you want to call it, on staves. They're not
individual staves.
Or really small barrels. That's how they're getting the darker colors. If you see a crappy bourbon that's just a little darker than what it should be, it's either in a really small barrel, so it's going to not have good complexity. It's just going to be really... Or it's done on staves.
You know...
The rape and pillaging of alcohol is not just limited to wine, is what we're saying. All right. Now, these glasses...
What a lame description of your own wine.
Yeah, Wilford wrote that for him. These glasses, in theory, should bring out the aromas of this wine more.
Ripened berries, currants, and notes of espresso.
There are hardly any... This has a very weak nose.
This is a well-structured wine defined by grace. Who's Grace? And what's her definition? And balance with a firm backbone. Yet is elegant and approachable.
Is it?
Find out.
Mm-hmm. Who bought this? I did.
You did.
I did, yeah. Because it's Knights Valley. And I like Knights Valley.
I mean, it's not a bad nose.
It's not a good nose.
It's just maybe this Wing series.
Yeah.
Glass is a bit much for it.
But it's supposed to enhance it. Menthol.
There is
black licorice.
Yeah, they're very definitely almost towards anise.
Yeah.
Anise.
Very close to anise, yeah.
It's headed that way.
An anise fennel kind of thing.
Very much so.
Fennel seed.
That's not an unapproachable nose. It's no. Just
and blackberry. Fennel seed, blackberry, menthol.
The blackberry being the weaker of the three.
Yes.
It looks... Honestly... It's not the densest looking.
And there is a trace of violet.
It's not the densest looking wine in this glass.
No.
Let's get this over with.
Well, it's dry.
Extremely dry.
It has a very long finish. I think it will grow on us. Right now, I'm not too hot on it, but the finish is pretty impressive, and it is on oak, mind you.
Yeah, it's just, that's stupid, their descriptor.
It's a dumb descriptor. Okay, it's not charred, okay? Neutral vessels. Okay, it's on oak, though, guys. I mean, it's a neutral vessel. It could normally, that means stainless or concrete. So the neutral might suggest that it's not going to impart anything on the wine, right? That's what neutral would normally mean. Here, they're just meaning it's not charred oak. Well, fuck off. That's, you say on, you know, neutral French oak or neutral American oak, you dipshits.
The thing is, where's the fruit on this thing? Where's the front palate? It just goes to this. And normally I love an extremely dry wine. I'm a big fan of that. This is like almost oppressively dry. There's nothing else.
Okay. It is now on the second sip. Once your palate kind of acclimates, it is starting to show that hairy-chested beastliness that is Knight's Valley.
Yeah, there's a tannic background.
Very,
bone
very tannic.
That is there.
Your fruit is, well, there is some cassis and dark chocolate, but it's mostly, it's not quite prune because I like it. But it's heading towards prune. I'm gonna call it plum, maybe a stewed plum.
Fair,
yeah.
It's
not quite prune; it's plum, but in tar.
Not pops.
There's some tar there too.
That plum, like the skin of a plum, kind of pops up in the finish too.
And if you let it go down your windpipe, it's very strong. Oh man, that's, don't do that. No, swallow it, don't breathe it in.
This is an oddball, man. This is,
it's
a bit of a weirdo, man.
Some of the other ones, and I'll tell you straight off, Rodney Strong, for instance, it's a little bit more of an integrated wine. It's fruit. One thing, these wines, ageability wise, let's talk about that. Normally, these wines, you'd say it's $20, you're not going to age it. This wine, this would be better if you held it for a year and a half or two after you bought it. You just do that, you let it kind of find its way in the bottle. Just let it find its way.
And it might not work out because this is not something you can age for 4 or 5 years.
No, but it
doesn't
needs,
have that. But it seems like it needs something to settle it down a
it
little
does,
bit.
It does. This has been in the vault for, I bought it in the beginning of November.
Okay, not so, that long.
No, but it's been there 2 months. So it there's no bottle shock.
It's sat and long enough to calm.
Mm-hmm. But it needs to, in some fashion, develop and evolve a little bit and get a little more cohesiveness throughout the wine. Right now, it's a little bit disjointed in how it comes across. The parts and the pieces are all kind of there to a certain extent, but they're jumbled up just a slight bit. And throws it off, just a wink.
I'm don't recall anything that's as overwhelmingly dry. Physically, that mouth-washing effect as I respond to this wine.
This wine
has a long time.
True.
I don't even have a comparison point.
You're not going to get this kind of experience from Paso.
No.
Only in these kind of places like this. You're going to, and even in like your better Napas.
Nah. Well, this just doesn't have that fruit forward thing whatsoever. The fruit we're describing.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily, it's the front palate. It's the mid palate that really doesn't have the stuff there.
Well, it doesn't fit, but it's like this is not for that Napa fruit front forward drinker at all. I'm having a hard time getting past the dryness of this wine.
You like dryness of wine.
I know. This is just making me take a step back.
Well, it doesn't want to, in my opinion, straight up, it doesn't seem to want to hitch its cart to one certain horse. So, say if it was Bordeaux, you would have this dryness to a certain extent, but at the same time, you would have a wine that has a little bit more complexity in the front palate. You might have some minerality trickling through the mid palate. And so the wine itself would be kind of following along with the austere nature of the tannin. Where this wine, it just kind of, you know, spins around and kind of poops itself in the front palate. Not necessarily in a negative way. I mean, it's funny. Oh, that he pooped himself. But then the mid palate doesn't really do much. And then you have this closing act that, you know, it's like a drum solo. At the end, you had Keith Moon, but at the beginning, you had, the Teletubbies. So it's kind of like weird. They're out dancing around and shit like that, spinning. Or what was the guys that had the sweaty armpits every time that they'd play or sang? It was a kids' band. They all wore different colored T-shirts. Them. And then you had Keith Moon whacking himself up on, you know, horse tranquilizer, jamming the fuck out at the end. But he's rocking out. You don't know where he is. But he also doesn't know that those guys, the child molester guys, they're not probably really child molesters, but they're really creepy. You know. Who was it? Yeah, you don't make child molester jokes, by the way. Who was that? Aaron Rodgers. Don't do that. You can on the wine vault, but just don't make it about...
No,
you don't accuse somebody of that. I just did that, didn't I?
You just did. You're a bad man.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying. And who, they did have sweaty pits, though. Were those their names, Scott?
Talking about NSYNC?
No, they were a kids, like, little group. It wasn't the Teletubbies, but they were actual adults, men, mm-hmm. adult males that would dance around and sing for kids. And they each wore a different colored T-shirt, and you know, they didn't wear deodorant, apparently, so they're all sweat pit-stained kind of guys. And I don't know what they were.
I'm not familiar with these guys.
You were probably in the band, is what it was. Jesus. I don't know. I don't remember if they... Yeah, because...
So was it them or Keith Moon that had the soiled knickers?
Well, Keith Moon always had soiled knickers.
Okay, so
assuming.
He's the one who pooped himself.
Oh, yeah. But that was all just fun and games for him.
And this wine...
What the hell were they called, folks? This is not funny. Email me. Unless you don't want us to know that we know, that you know who they are, but... We already know that there's something wrong with you because you're listening to the show. Your cousin probably just yelled the name.
He's looking
around, and nobody else knows why that, because he's like listening on AirPods and he yells out the name. You know, it's like, well, then everybody's like, why do you know that name? Because they all know that name too. You see that? They all know the name too. So don't, you know, if you yelled out that name.
I am the music man, action songs for children.
No, really don't look this up, Scott, because.
I'm trying.
Men that sing
the
for
Wiggles.
Kids.
It's the Wiggles. They were about four down on that. Oh, by the way, I think they're Australian.
Well, there we go. Good day, mate. Dingo ate your baby. Yes, the Wiggles. The Wiggles always had pit stains. Bro.
And apparently soiled knickers.
No, I don't know about that, but yeah. I wasn't looking at him that close.
Bro.
The Wiggles.
apparently you were looking at.
I wonder if they still perform for like kids that are now like 19. Okay. Do they do that? No, they don't, probably.
The Wiggles line up in 2022.
Oh, well, they have a new band
out there.
They're still out there?
I think they've been re-performed. So they're...
What?
I'm on the Wikipedia.
Oh.
Apparently the Wiggles are a spinoff of, wait for it, the Cockroaches.
Don't know what that is.
I think it's another name of a band.
They're not a band. They're a group.
Well...
Do they play instruments?
It says music group.
That's stretching the term. I don't know that they, you know... They just seemed a little bit too happy to me. You know, because obviously their music careers were bullshit, and they were, you know... They had to be hopped up on something. Let's go sing for kids. What am I singing? Old MacDonald. What? On stage?
Two of the
original
members.
Give me the needle, Johnny.
Lucia Field and... Jeff Fatt were original members of the Wiggles, and previously they were members of the Australian pop band The Cockroaches.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
They were studying to be preschool teachers.
Were they?
Yes.
That's not surprising. What stopped them, Scott?
Probably an indictment? Their music career.
Probation?
Listen, Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not saying for what. You know, I'm just saying, you know.
You're implying.
Well, I'm asking. I'm asking a question. What stopped them from being preschool teachers? The fact that they decided they wanted to be Catholic priests?
Lord.
This is Steve Gibson humor, folks. I'm sorry.
Not even close.
Scott, I can't read this joke. What'd you say? I can't. Oh, no, Lord. No, I'm not going to read that. Oh, that's just terrible, Scott. How do you make that? Right now, I'm wearing a Wine Vault jacket. We have those now. Just two. A men's and a ladies. I gave Scott the ladies. But
it's a nice jacket.
It is a nice jacket. It's, you know, if you had a motor... It's almost like a motorcycle jacket.
What?
Well, I don't have a motorcycle, but I'm a Mustang. Does that count? It's mainly than what you drive, your minivan.
Oh, Lord.
You do have a minivan, Scott.
You were the most recent minivan owner.
I got rid of that fucker. I don't have a minivan anymore.
You drove it into the ground.
Well, the kids tried to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do? You're wearing a motorcycle jacket. That's hysterical. You
well, it's kind of like one.
Sure it is.
A scooter, a Vespa jacket. I bet the Wiggles ride a Vespa together.
Well,
how many members of the Wiggles were there? Who dreams of being a preschool teacher? I'm just asking. For a friend.
People who don't set their heights high enough to be a kindergarten teacher?
I mean, I'm sure like a singer like Carl LaVert wanted to be a preschool teacher, but that would have been a step up over his career. You know?
Carl LaVert had a bad career.
Yes, he did.
You're right.
Casanova.
It's a good song.
No, it's not.
Come on.
It's not. It'll come up on the Wine Vault playlist.
And you sing along to it every time.
I don't know it. Oh, Scott.
You do sing along to it.
Becky's top song for 2023 on Spotify. It comes up the top 10 list. It was...
R. Kelly. We've already talked about this.
Give me that honey love. Becky.
That's Becky.
That.
Now, who plays the Spotify music on Becky's computer? Would that mostly be Becky, or would that be the wine guy?
Well, it's my phone, but, you know. Who's logged into? Well, technically, we don't have a spot. We don't pay for Spotify. We don't have a Spotify account. Becky is the listed spouse of our friend Mary Scott, and your spouse gets a free Spotify account. So, ergo, which is close enough. Fine for that. I'm fine with that. We'd pay for it ordinarily. SiriusXM keeps calling me and calling my office. Are you going to re-app? I was like, I didn't do that to begin with. It came free for the first 3 months. I'm not... Why do I want your stupid fucking Sirius? So I have to fucking find a song. I have to find a station and then say, when is my song going to come up? Oh, wait a minute. I have Spotify. I can just listen to it. I can press the button on the screen and say, Siri, play whatever. And it will. Fuck you, Siri. I don't want... Yeah, we have Howard Stern on. I can make dick jokes myself. I think I'm hilarious, so that's all right.
You do think you're hilarious.
It's cheaper than Sirius. That's true.
Well,
you know.
Probably not as good a quality humor.
I don't know. It's probably similar. No. I mean, your jokes about the Catholic priest was pretty funny, Scott. You're a good joke writer.
Too soon.
Too soon from what?
Catholic priest jokes.
You're not Catholic.
Doesn't matter. I'm sensitive.
There's actually... No, you're not sensitive. You're a bitch. There's a difference. But,
no,
you know.
I'm sensitive.
You're, oh, my God. You.
I'm sensitive to the needs of others.
Nobody would ever say that about you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they would.
People will say a lot of things about you. Sometimes when you're not listening. But they'll never say...
Sometimes when I'm not there.
Yeah. Behind your back, possibly. They'll never say... You're sensitive.
No. People,
I mean,
say that
your
all
own
time.
Wife, would she say that you're sensitive? No. She would say, you're a bitch, but she wouldn't say you're sensitive.
She might say I'm insensitive.
That too. Yes, both.
And that would be like the pot calling the kettle black.
But being a whiny bitch is what she'd probably say.
No.
No, yeah, she would say that about you. Mm-hmm. I've heard it. You know, you're the only man.
There's a lot of things I do. Whining is not one of them.
There are things you do. Take your clothes off and lay next to people that are sleeping on a couch innocently. You do that.
You're freaking psycho.
I'm not the one that did that.
Neither did I.
You took your clothes off and then laid on the couch next to me. It was so creepy. It was just like,
no.
Yes.
I laid on the couch first. You fell asleep on the
chair. I was asleep on the couch. That was a different time. I've passed out of your house like 5 times in 2 years. Probably 18 times. But... That one time I was asleep on the big part of the couch. I was asleep there. All right? I went to sleep. That was where I was sleeping. And you're like, well, I could go to bed or I could take all my clothes off and go to sleep for a while.
Oh, I took my shirt off.
Yeah, that's close enough. That's close enough. I want you to be naked. Folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2023 Wine and Winery of the Year. Starting off, folks, Winery of the Year. Scott and I talked about this off the air. We are in total agreement that Carlisle Winery is the Winery of the Year for us. Kind of a newcomer because we had, you know, Scott, so you understand. I'll start off with this. Because we're going to talk about some wines tonight that, and maybe even give awards to you. And you might say, well, I can't buy that wine at my grocery store. No.
Well, that's...
But wines like Carlisle and Turley, those two wineries, you can join their mailing list and order anything you... Well, a lot. You can satisfy your heart's desire through those wineries. And it doesn't cost you a dime to do that other than ordering from the winery.
Getting it shipped to your house.
You'll pay shipping, but neither one of the shippings on either one of those wineries are outlandish.
They really aren't.
They're very fair, and they give you options. So you can buy Turley very easily. You can buy Carlisle very easily. Very easily. You don't even have to look for them. You just sign up, boom, immediately. You're ready to go. Boom. There's no wait list. You're ready to go. Period.
And
these are very, very easy to buy wines. Very.
And for the quality,
yeah,
of the wine you get, particularly if you do both Carlisle and Turley,
mm-hmm.
the breadth of their offerings,
mm-hmm.
red wines, white wines, blends,
yeah.
single varietals, and you will not be disappointed by the quality.
And
you might not buy grocery store wine again.
You might not. And the prices aren't outlandish. You're not talking about $150 bottle of wines. You're talking about $30, $40 bottle of wines. Also,
and quite frankly, the Turley it's an incredible value on their mailing list compared to what you get at retail.
Oh, it's a fraction of the price.
Some of the bottles are $50 less.
Yes, they are. I mean, the Juvenile is $25 plus shipping, so it's under $30 for literally, if you buy enough bottles, and you'll buy 6, 10 bottles, 12, whatever, you buy it in threes, you're talking about, what, $4 or $5 a bottle in shipping, maybe. You can buy, I just had it. What's that light wine? It doesn't matter. Cinsault.
It's the Cinsault.
The Cinsault is $20, and the Cinsault is gorgeous.
Yes.
It's 20. It is one of the best Cinsaults out there. It's $20, man. It's $20 plus shipping, and it's not. We're not talking about $15 shipping. We're talking $5 shipping. So that
availability, you can put your hands on Carlisle. You can on Turley.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for the mailing list. You don't have to buy. You can buy just 3 bottles. You want to buy just 3 bottles? Buy 3 bottles. Buy 3 bottles. Join. Buy.
But why does Carlisle win Winery of the Year? I'll tell you why. Turley wins all the time, so who cares? Marietta's won, you know. And we like the Marietta Old Vine. What is it?
Lot 70.
Yeah, the Lot 70. The OVR Lot 70.
It was really good.
That was the only thing really drank from them this year that really counts. But we really like that. But Carlisle... The Zins are great, but beyond the Zins, it's not just a Syrah producer. Their whites are really interesting. They did they did the derivative, which was really great. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear some of these being released as we go along. They did the Gruner Veltliner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a grape. That's a varietal specific that's difficult to grow in California, and they did it, and they did it beautifully.
Nailed it.
You know, they,
beautiful.
And going along with that. Our wine of the year is Carlisle Winery's Radiant Ridge Mourvèdre. The Mourvèdre is the best wine we've had. Well, one of the best wines we've had all year. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other things we had. But it was one of the most surprising things Scott and I have done. Really, Mourvèdre from weird sources. Because Klein, their ancient vine Mourvèdre, was very good as well.
It was good.
And we had some surprising things from California. Mourvèdre from California this year were surprising, the two we had. But the Radiant Ridge Mourvèdre was one of those things that just stuck in our mind. We can't forget it.
They don't make it every year, it seems.
No, yes, because they didn't make it this last year, yeah.
But it was off the charts good. And I've got a couple put back and can't wait to let them go the distance of the aging, on the recommended aging for Carlisle.
Now, I will say this. We agreed as a compromise to the Mourvèdre. My wine of the year, if I was just picking it by myself, would have been Carlisle. But their Carlisle Vineyard, Russian River, Zinfandel. Simply because, and that was like, I threw that on as a Wednesday episode right before the end of the year for specifically one reason. That wine, in my opinion, is what Zinfandel is in its purest form. Nothing beyond, no lavish oaking, no weird sight. Just, if someone says to me, Rob, what does Zinfandel taste like? I point to that bottle and say, that's what it is.
Like that. That's what it like should taste like.
And so those two wines in and of themselves kind of sealed it for
when you hear the episode, he'll say it over and over. This is what Zinfandel should taste like. This is what Zinfandel should taste like.
And Scott, and these are things Scott brought. So normally I'm adverse to Scott.
It's huge. It's a huge Zin, which... That's stylistically, that's what we like.
Yeah, but it's not overwhelming.
But it wasn't. But it's not this walk in the park Zin. Mm-hmm. This is a Zin that's got backbone. It can age. And,
yeah.
And we were drinking it essentially. It'd been set down for maybe 6 weeks. Six months.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of our start off to talk about our top five other wines. Two real special ones I want to talk about that would probably be my top three. The Casa Nuestra from Turley.
Nuestra. The Casa Nuestra, red wine blend. That was from, I forget what winery that they had bought out, but they basically were bringing back another wine's wine, but with their influence, their oaking, and that wine really was magical in the way it was oaked and made. So they had good grape stock, and it was a Napa. It was a Napa production, but once Turley got a hold of it, their winemaking skills at Turley, And that's the thing you'll find. The winemaking skills there, they can take a turd and make it lovely. And so they can just do something magical with everything. And so they took that and they really made it something that was just so special.
They take these vineyards that are dead and mm-hmm. bring them back to life.
Yeah.
And Casanoy's tried, I think it had been out of production for a little more than 10 years.
I don't know.
They'd own it for 4 or 5. And what we put on the show was the first vintage.
It's like a 16.
Yep. And
it was good.
Fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'll be buying the Casa Nuestra every freaking year when they offer it. I'll be buying multiple bottles of it. The other one, a special note for me, friend of mine is expat from Uruguay. And Maria brought me back a gift from her most recent travels back home last year, Christmas. Oh my God. Bodegas Buza. Tannet.
Yeah. The Azucar. Yeah. The Pande Azucar Tannet.
Yeah. They have multiple lines. Mm-hmm. It's available in the States. We can't really find it here. Wine.com has carried it, mm-hmm. but they haven't carried it recently.
Yeah.
Magical
wine.
Bigger than what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know, my exposure to tannet had been French style.
Yep.
Or Cali. Lighter. This was big. It had body. It had texture. It was...
I know you were thinking, folks. You're like, you know, I was in Virginia and they had a tannet. Yeah, sure they did.
No, they didn't.
They had a tannet. Yeah.
But it was... transcendent for me because now tannet is on my mind. It's a mm-hmm. varietal that I will have, I will drink, and I look for it. And if I can get my hands on another Uruguayan tannet, I'm buying it.
We have one back there on the rack for the show.
Yeah. So. And but there's a couple other ones. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, Stag's Leap Hands of Time. That's a wine, $30. Stag's Leap Hands of Time. I know that Stag's Leap doesn't want to acknowledge they make it because their website scrubs any Stag's Leap. You should embrace that wine because you're making something that's fantastic, a fantastic Californian style Bordeaux blend. For $31, that is an exquisite wine. Be proud of that. Put your fucking name on it. And really, really promote it. You don't have to have some dipshit $90 bottle of wine be your entry level, because your entry level isn't as good as Hands of Time.
It just isn't.
We
went down a journey the last 18 months looking for these California French blends, mostly Bordeaux blends.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the winner. That the Nyers was pretty damn good.
Nyers Left Bank Red was really great.
Different price point.
Yeah, it was another $15-$20 more, but it was an excellent one. But also Moretta's Well, the Spur. That's a good wine.
Spur was a good one too.
Yeah.
Now that one,
it's like $27.
That one's maybe more Rhone style. Do I have that right?
I think they snuck something else in it. Maybe Petite Syrah, just a trace amount, or Syrah, just to throw it off a little bit. But it was Livermore Valley though, so that was a little bit unique. I mean, that's where Winte. Roos.
It's mirrored as well, folks. That's a maker that you need to put your hands on it. But so I guess we got a little bit past the top five.
And then lastly, the Kirkland Bordeaux Superior. Very nice. I had a bottle of that Friday night, a whole bottle. And then I have one more bottle. I bought like 8 bottles, or no, I bought 10 bottles back in whenever it was last year, and I've drank through it all the year. Hopefully, that'll be released again. I can buy another 12, but I'll probably buy a case and then just let it roll through the year. It's like a little, you know, it's $6.99.
It really is for cheap wine.
It's cheap wine.
Good quality.
Yeah, it's good quality.
It's not great. It's not great. It's
no.
It's not great, but it's good. It's solid.
It's solid.
You know you're drinking a Bordeaux.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see year to year if they have that level of consistency.
Well, yes, a good point. That's the thing, though, with the Kirkland stuff. If you buy a bottle and then to see if it's good, then go back 2 weeks later, there ain't no more. I just bought more of, folks, the Gigondas that we love so much. It's actually a buck cheaper this year.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, but I bought four bottles, two for Scott, two for me, partly because there was something else I bought. Remember, Scott, I was saying that I was a good boy, and I didn't buy any First Growth or Grand Cru Bordeaux.
Yeah, you lied.
No, no, I wasn't lying then, but then I went back another time.
And you bought some.
I did.
From Kirkland?
No.
From?
From France. I don't remember which one it was. I'll show it to you later.
This was a wine.com purchase, I take?
No, this was at Costco.
That's what I said.
So I went back in, and I went back, and they had more than they originally did. And they had Pop Clement, but I have that. It was $100. And this was, actually, it was Chateau Edisson. It is from, I want to say, Margaux.
Okay. I'll say Saint Estef, maybe.
No, and yeah, it was cheaper. It was $70 a bottle, but about two. And it's not important. But I was like, you know.
I think it is important. I think if you get your hands on something, you think it might be good.
Mm-hmm.
There is that rule where you're like, you have this great bottle of wine, you've aged it for 15 years, and you go, damn, I wish I had a second bottle of this.
I was depressed. I was disappointed with myself. But I also, folks, bought some pants at Costco. It's fantastic.
Pants.
Jeans. I bought these. Right now, I'm wearing Kirkland's signature blue jeans. And you know what, Scott?
He's got a smile on his face, folks. He's serious about
these
this.
These things are, you have to touch them later.
No, I'm not touching your jeans.
They are, I'll take them off and then you can touch them.
Oh, Lord.
They are fucking great, folks. If you go into Kirkland, or Costco, get their Kirkland signature jeans. Soft, nice look, really nice. You didn't know I was wearing Kirkland. But they also Lucky Brand. You know Lucky Brand? Lucky?
Oh, so Kirkland's made by the same people that make Lucky Brands.
They are, actually.
No, they're not.
Scott, it's the same fucking jeans. False. I bought a pair of Lucky False. Brand, and I bought a pair of these. And they feel the same. You understand?
You're demented.
You understand it's a name? So when they're at Thailand, down from the blue room where you get angry fuck sex, they can put any fucking name they want on them. Because these things, man, these are really nice jeans. Really nice. And they were $17 for a pair of jeans.
Okay.
It's pretty cheap.
I'm glad you're happy.
I'm very happy.
You're very happy.
I'm wearing Kirkland signature jeans and I'm very comfortable.
You're
I might wear my Lucky Brands tomorrow. Bracky. Scott and I and the Australian Russian, which is almost like this. It's not Australian Californian. Who would that be? There isn't one. We are going to have appetizers tomorrow
night. Lamb chops.
And we're going to be bad.
We talked about it.
Scott, you know we're going to be bad.
No, we're going to be good, man. We're going to be good. We're going to behave ourselves.
We've never behaved ourselves.
We always behave ourselves.
First of all, you're a bad person.
I'm not a bad person.
You have.
I don't brag about wearing Kirkland signature jeans.
These are fantastic pants, man.
Oh, my Lord.
You snob. What are you wearing? Bugle Boy jeans?
Probably Gap jeans.
Gap jeans.
But I don't go, oh, look. Feel my Gap jeans. But they're so soft.
Yeah, because these are cheaper than your Gap jeans.
I don't know. I tend to buy my Gap jeans on the clearance.
But no one would ever imagine that you would buy things. You look like they fit you so well.
Nobody would ever imagine. Actually, these jeans, I look good in these jeans.
I'm sure you do. How long have you been by yourself now at your house?
Too long.
Yeah, you probably
too
have.
Long.
Yeah, Scott keeps sending me pictures of like shirtless, fat farm boys in like overalls but no t-shirt underneath it. He keeps finding these pictures and sending them to me. It's like, Scott, I am not into your
Washington Commanders defensive lineman John Ridgeway walked in with a freaking,
is that who that was?
Yes, it was from, it was a walk-in picture from the NFL ESPN article about walk-ins.
Why'd you keep that?
I sent it to you for Wilfred.
Wilfred's not into that. He's into Latino men. Wilfred's, he's into Hispanic men.
Wilfred's definitely into,
yes, I'm into Hispanic men, not corn-fed Iowa pasty looking dudes. I'm not into that.
How did you know he's from Iowa?
He just kind of looked like it. I'm stereotyping. I'm being racist. He's fat and he's wearing overalls. Nebraska or Iowa, pick one of the two. I don't know. I don't give a shit. I'm just not into that. You know why? Because they're not into me. You know, he doesn't know this, even though he's wearing a sign that screams it, that he's not into that kind of funny shit. So, you know, although if you dress like that,
you might.
You're wearing the uniform. I don't know what uniform that is, but geez, God. Who's he play for?
The Commanders.
That's why they lose. They have a dipshit dressed like that.
They got a bad owner.
I'm going to push you around.
Not anymore. They got a good owner now.
Well, why are you
Josh Harris is going to turn
why
around.
Are you grabbing my butt? I'm sorry. That's holding. Holding!
Went to a Reverend Horton Heat concert once. And one of the warm-up bands was Reverend Peyton.
Yes. If you grab a man's ass in football, Scott, is that a 10-yard penalty? Right. I think it is.
It depends. It could be a legal procedure.
What if you put your hands on the back of a man's pants?
Illegal hands to the ass.
Oh. Is that 15 yards?
It should be.
It's a spot foul.
But Reverend Peyton's
brown spot foul.
Wife played. She played the washboards.
That's fantastic.
And she wore denim overalls, similar to John Ridgway, but don't think she had anything underneath them. And she was a bigger person.
So you reliving that experience currently?
It was.
Why are your hands below the table, Scott?
It was.
Hands on the table, sir.
We were all uncomfortable. You know who was most uncomfortable by it? Deb was really uncomfortable by her outfit.
Because she has sense. You probably were like leaning up a little bit to see what else you could see.
She was actually like tapping me. She's like, I don't think she's wearing anything under that.
Why were you at that concert?
It's good. Reverend Horton Heat. You don't know about Reverend Horton Heat?
Nobody knows about that, Scott.
Yes, everybody knows about Reverend Horton Heat.
No, they don't.
Oh, Lord.
Folks, write in if you know about Reverend Horton Heat.
Reverend Horton Heat.
Is that a Dr. Seuss book?
He's a legend.
Is he?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
It's legendary that anybody knows about him. I know, but you don't need to Google him. Everybody, Wine Vault has a page that you can, you know. Wilfred Wong has a Wikipedia. You're going to look up that woman, aren't you? You're just looking at corn-fed men with no clothes on.
No, I'm going to play some Reverend Horton Heat.
Just Google Nebraska cock. That's what you want to do. I know that is what it is.
You're such a bad man.
If you Googled Iowa cock, you'd find DeSantis on there. You're like, what the hell is this? Yeah. Him and his 3-inch lifts.
T-sensitivity is so common.
What are you doing, Scott? You're going to get us devalued.
Yeah.
We're going to demonetize. That's what it is. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So,
off air, Rob admitted Reverend Horton Heat is pretty good.
I never admit that. Anyway, one thing Scott and I forgot to mention is over Christmas when we both weren't sick, and apparently this didn't exist, but this never happened. It was off the books. It was a black op. Scott and I went and got another dog for the Wine Vault, essentially. But yeah, Santa did it. Let's tell a story, because William's not allowed to listen to this show.
But Henry does.
No, he doesn't. William would be more interested in it. He goes, William asked me tonight, how old do you have to be on the Wine Vault? And I said, old. And he goes, 21. I went, yes, and then you have to send us an audition tape, and then we'll say no. But that's okay. I can't make dick jokes in front of my kid. Although he'll be 21 by the time, we'll probably be still fucking doing this. He'll be like 80. We'll still be doing it then, you know. But anyway, so it was, what was it? It was like Christmas week. Becky, I was in the Wine Vault, and
I'm interested to see how you tell this story, because I was there for all the complaining and...
Yes, I know. Trust me. I go in the Wine Vault, and there was a PlayStation 5 in there, a new one. I'm like, we already have one of these. So I go up to Becky, and this was, you know, the week before Christmas, and I go, why do we have a PlayStation 5 in the Wine Vault? We already have one. She goes, well, that's for William. I'm like, what the fuck is he going to do with it? Fuck it. I mean, what the hell is he going to do with it? You can't. She goes, well, we could return it and we can get him a dog. I was like, well, that's a fucking loaded. You know, it's like, what do you want to do? Waste $500 on something they won't use? Or get a dog?
This was your initial response. Wasn't your initial response, didn't it mostly involve curse words?
Well, that always is my initial response. But eventually I said, fuck it, let's get a dog.
Originally, folks, what he was saying is, I'm not getting a fucking dog.
Okay, yes, I was not that keen on it. So anyway, Becky then just pretty much gets a dog. And so, you know, most people would get a Labrador or something like that. Not us. We got a Bordeaux Doodle, which is a Border Collie and Doodle, a poodle. Apparently, they're the new raging thing. I looked it up. They are selling, Scott, for like the average price is $3,000 to $5,000. Now, to skip ahead, then we'll go back to the rest of the story. When we were down there, we were meeting with the lady, Scott and I. We were tasked with this job of going down to get the dog. She goes, people are coming from all over to get my dogs. I have someone coming down from Maine and New York. Now, $3,000 to $5,000. That's a lot of money. It's stupid money. But she was charging $400.
Well,
I mean, I think that,
keep in mind, we picked this dog up. It still had, after she'd given it a bath, it still had poop in its hair.
Yeah, and it had blood on it. But that's okay. That's all right.
She said it was blood. We never found the blood in the nose.
No, it's blood from her. So it starts off. Scott comes over on that Friday night. He's going to go with me on that Saturday morning, right? And the plan was we go down and get the dog, bring it back. My mother then would tell. Well, kind of. That was more the yelling. Becky and I had a bit of a row as to the illusion. We wanted William to still believe in the magic of Christmas and that Santa brought him a dog, because that's something totally a fictional elf would do. And if you still believe in Santa, you're listening to this show. What is fucking wrong with you? I mean, seriously, dude. He's like some fat man slides down your fucking chimney and brings you a fucking... You live in a fucking apartment.
Well, I am kind of fat, and I did was part of bringing the dog.
Yeah, and you fit a lady's coat, but... And William doesn't even believe it. That's all right. Whatever. The magic. Whatever. And so, we were going to bring the dog back. My parents were going to call and say, hey, Santa dropped off this dog early, because that's totally something Santa would do, right? He's out there flying around his fucking, you know, sleigh, and he stopped by the house. And anyway, kids are dumb, so it's okay. So Scott comes over. We cook out. You know, we had a tomahawk ribeye and all sorts of stuff. Drank too much wine. Becky and I got in an argument about faking out William. It doesn't matter. Scott and I in the morning go to Waffle House. He orders the wrong thing. Whatever. He eats like three breakfasts because he's like that. Then we drive to Kentucky. We drive all the way to Kentucky. This is more of like a potpourri. And so we stop at Walmart to get things, you know, because, you know, in Waverly, Ohio. So we're going down there, and we're going to meet her in the parking lot of the food fair. And she wanted to...
Not the IGA.
No,
food fair. Not the Save-A-Lot.
This is a chain.
Not the Piggly Wiggly.
It's food fair.
The food fair.
Yes. And she wanted to meet away from where everybody else was. At the food fair. It was a little sketch, right?
Well.
And so we realized we're two dudes coming down. Well, Scott realized we're two dudes coming down to buy a dog. It just looked weird. So Scott goes, we could pretend like we're a homosexual couple buying the dog. And I said, well, Scott, you have a lot more practice in doing that than I do.
Well, I'm an accomplished actor.
Yes. That was what Scott said. But when we pulled up, we thought we saw her, and it turned into almost like a, well, we treated it like a police procedure. Scott was going to go, he got out of the car and went around the back of the car. I got out and shielded myself with the door until we could kind of check her out. Well, we thought it was a robbery is what we thought.
No, actually, I thought that the whole thing was.
You thought you were going to get raped is what you thought.
No, I thought it was a trick. And that Becky was going to have you assassinated while you're in Kentucky. So I stayed as, when I got out of the car, I stayed as far away from him as I could. Because I still wasn't Sure. You had to see this person in her van, and
it was a little sketch. It was a little unusual.
She was an anxiety-ridden person.
She was. So we acquired the dog. I paid the cat. Although she didn't ask for the money, I gave it to her anyway. I mean, probably could have walked out of there and saved $400. But the first thing Scott and I had done, we saw this big sign for a liquor store. Because that's what we totally do. And we drove around. We went to the liquor store, and we took the dog into the liquor store. The first place the puppy ever went to was a liquor store. And it was a grandiose liquor store. They had quite a bit of stuff.
They had a nice bourbon
selection.
Bought
a lot of Willet, you know? Yeah. Actually, that next week, then Greg and I went back to that liquor store.
Oh.
I didn't buy anything the second time, but that's all right.
Well, the dog was shaking to death.
Yes.
30 seconds in. I'm the dog whisperer. 30 seconds in my arms and she was fine.
Yep.
She had a good time in the liquor store with us.
The dog has been fine ever since. She's not down here with us because she's probably asleep in the bed with Becky.
She got a dog treat from the checkout guy.
He did. And she, her name is Ellie, my sister has a dog named Ellie. And she goes, why'd you name your dog? I don't. The kids named the dog. I don't remember what your dog's name is.
There's another dog in the family named Ellie?
I don't know. I didn't name the fucking dog.
Yes, okay. You did. Yes, you did. You said yes.
William named it something.
You said yes.
William named it Sparkle, didn't he? Then he changed the name.
I forget what you said first.
Yeah, but he changed the name. The dog's name is Ellie. Anyway, first night, slept through the night, has slept through the night ever since. We don't have to get up to walk it in the night or any shit like that. Sleeps through the night. Doesn't, if we originally tried to get up and take her out during the night, she really didn't want to get up and go out in the night.
She's tired.
She wanted to sleep.
She's a smart dog.
Yep. She poops and pees outside, and you know.
Tell them about the buzzer.
There's a little bell that's down by the door. You press it and it sets off a buzzer, and she will do that sometimes because that's what you're supposed to. You press it. They know that, and that's what they know to go out and use the restroom. And she did it.
Smart.
Is smart. Well, border collies, the border doodle is the smartest of the doodle. Apparently, the flat coat labradoodle, which Bo was, is not.
Well,
there's a plank of wood, and there's Bo.
Bo was a smart dog.
Bo was dumber than shit.
He just didn't have the common sense.
He's fucking dumb. I'm going to catch a car. Bang! Well, I guess they'll pick me up.
Dumbass. Sad day.
It was very sad, and it was very annoying. And I know, Sally had something to do with it.
No.
Bo, you can run across that street. It's really cool across that street. Do it. Do it. But that's just shameful. Oh, that's bad.
Jesus Christ. That's why you don't buy Chinese batteries for your fucking invisible fence, Becky.
I found the batteries. I got a deal. They're Chinese. It kind of fits in his collar.
Does it? I'm going to, next time she does that, I'm going to have her wear the collar and try it out.
Bo's not the first dog that's defeated an electric fence.
He didn't have to defeat it. The batteries did not fit in the fucking collar. And I kind of fit. And then he just, yeah. That's why you don't buy regular batteries for your thing.
Well. Ellie's, she's a cute little dog. She's growing.
Mm-hmm.
She was stinky puppy breath and a big belly.
Yep. Now she's black with a white face and white paws.
She's a cute little thing.
And white tip of her tail.
Not much of a barker either. She's kind of quiet.
You can get her going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of quiet, though.
She does not like to have her nose booped.
Boop.
No. She doesn't like that. Sets her off. Just makes her really mad. Or you pick her up and you hold her and she just starts snarling. That's all right. She's harmless. So,
Greg Norman Estates.
Yes, many nice exciting things. Eventually, belly. When Becky, when she's big, she'll probably be down here, I'm assuming. So
I think she would have come down.
She's never been in the basement.
I think she would have come down.
Yeah, well, Sally was down here, and she's acting like a dumbass, so I had to throw her out of here.
I think Ellie would have come down. She mm-hmm.
Yeah, she would have been a pest, though.
She's quiet.
She would have barked. But the Greg Norman Estates, Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine? And it is a perplexing wine in the fact that how much do you really like it? I mean, honestly, if it were $12.99 and it was Sonoma, it'd be better. It's not, and it isn't.
Well, it's, I don't know that.
It's perfectly drinkable,
and it's a wine that I should like more than I do because of the dryness of it, but I don't.
Yeah, but it's a knockoff. It's a slight knockoff of Knights Valley. It doesn't. Well, it tastes like a little bit of a boardroom wine because that's what it is.
Sure,
it doesn't taste like an estate wine. It doesn't have a lot of terroir that really you're finding through it. Okay. It doesn't have a lot of nuance to it. We haven't broke this wine down at all.
But there's a reason, because there's nothing to break down.
No, there isn't.
But I'm trying to understand. So it's a Knights Valley wine that's a knockoff of a Knights Valley wine.
It's a facsimile of one.
Okay, there you go. Facts, just the facts. I want to like this wine more than I do. Maybe, as one guy said, if you sat this down for 2 years, it would be more better. That the dryness might meld into the wine a little bit more, but trying to think of a wine that was too dry to begin with, and by setting it back, I just don't have a comparison point for this wine. It's just too much of an oddball for me. It's a quality wine. It's not a bad wine, but I can't go higher than an 87, brother. That disjointed nature of it, that out of balance dryness, and I don't know what they would do to let's call it what it is, fix this. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Is it a higher quality wine than that? Maybe. I don't know. But for me, that's as high as I can go. It just doesn't work for me.
So an 87.
87.
For me, I come back to this wine. And what I want to see in a wine is something where the winery, the producer, is taking ownership in the wine. And you can taste the pride and the craftsmanship and what's in the bottle and what's in the glass. And this wine doesn't do that. This wine is just kind of a, meh. Look, it's got a shark fin on it. Do you like my clothing? Good day, mate. I got a 13 on the Masters. I completely fucked the duck on that. I mean.
Come to my shark experience in Australia.
If I wasn't called the shock, no one would give a shit about me. Because to me, in the bottle is nothing extraordinary or special. And really, when I say, if it was $12.99, it'd be fine. That's ridiculous. This doesn't cost. I mean, it's $22.99. For me, this wine is at best an 86. You know, and I was in the 85, 86 range. You know, it's Cabernet. Yeah, Sonoma / Knights Valley, maybe. The tannic nature to it gives it a little bit of a bump. But in reality, we didn't sit here and go back and forth at all. We had a lot to talk about tonight, but we didn't do it at all because there wasn't anything to do it with.
There really wasn't.
Just isn't anything. We talked a little bit about the fruit in the front palate. Then we said that it was tannic. Like, even the oaking is nondescript. It's there, but it's in a minimalistic sense, not in a good way or a bad way, you know? The tannins are there, but they're not really developed, and it's not like they're spicy at all. It's just dry and tannic. You're not, I taste some cayenne, or no, you don't do that. This is a dry red wine, and you know it's Cabernet.
Kind of, you know it's Cabernet. Kind of,
I know.
Kind of.
And so you're like, nah.
If I didn't show you this and I said this is Merlot because it's so dry, would you argue?
Let me taste that again.
You argue?
Good Merlot or bad Merlot?
Dry Merlot.
Okay, dry.
The driest Merlot you've ever had in your life. So if you're saying, that's what this would be.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Greg Norman Australian Grill in North Myrtle Beach. They've got lamb lollipops, too.
They found them there. Yeah, if you said to me, this is a shitty Franzak, I wouldn't argue with you. A shitty one. Not a good Franzak. A shitty one. A one made by Alison Krohe. But I'm not going to knock the winemaker. he kind of made lemons out of lemonade. I don't think he had great stuff to make wine with. This is the grape stock that really wasn't all that great. There's no flaws in the winemaking. He made a wine that's competent. He just didn't have anything. He didn't have the good stuff. He just had the kind of stuff. I think the winemaking is pretty good because he didn't have much to go on.
The front palate, just the fruit.
Look.
The fruit in this is not a Sonoma fruit. It's just not. It's not.
Wine is not a t-shirt. Wine is not a golf ball. Wine is not. This isn't a marketing thing.
Except that's what.
But this isn't. Greg Norman Estate. Fuck. That means nothing. What I will say about this wine is I do not recommend it. I do not recommend, having not drank any of their stuff, I don't recommend any of their things from California because
of this.
But why? Why drink it? They aren't putting a lot of interest in it. It is a marketing thing. It's like if I went and wanted to say Big Dick Cabernet, and I just want to have a Big Dick picture of that. It wouldn't be from Scott because he can't. But a Big Dick on the label, right? You could do that with this wine because
I'm photo shy. I'm afraid of that.
And you have it's a small too. Penis, but
not really.
But this wine could be Big Dick Cabernet. Why? Because there isn't a winery associated with it. It's just paint by now. It is. Oh, what would you like to call? Oh, you want to be Greg Norman Estates? Sure. 2022 could be completely different because it could be a whole different place that it came from. Not only is it sourced, it's something beyond that. It's just, it's licensed. It's a licensed wine. If I was doing a corporate wine and I wanted to say, Dick Slap, it's all Dick Slap. Dick Slap, Dick Schlappmann, we'll make it German. Dick Schlappmann, Lucen. Dick Schlappmann. It could be Dick Schlappmann Riesling, And so, we'll make Dick Schlappmann Riesling. I always like, Becky goes, who's that guy that, his name is Harold Dick Schlappmann is his name. He's German. Yeah, Harry Dick Schlappmann. But that's okay. That's the American name. But it doesn't matter. Greg Norman Estates isn't a thing. It's all made up. And it tastes like that in the glass. So, all of his wines, based on one wine, are not recommended. His Australian stuff, roll the dice. It's cheaper, so roll the dice. But if they don't take winemaking seriously, they don't take this whole thing seriously. They don't look at it as an art form. Then why should I take them seriously and spend my money 100%. With them?
And I don't. In the winemaker's defense, as you kind of sort of said, this
it's
is
not his fault.
This is not bad winemaking. It's just. It is what it is. I think that person did try and did give this a shot.
Yeah.
But it just...
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. You know what, Greg Norman? As most of the people in the PGA would say, go fuck yourself. So...
I do say I like his menu at the Greg Norman Australian Grill in North Myrtle Beach. He has one of my favorite sides. Broccolini. I love the broccolini.
I've eaten there several times.
Love the fucking broccolini.
And the problem with his place is sometimes his cooks come from Denny's.
Well, it is Myrtle Beach, bro.
It just depends on the staffing, bro.
It's Myrtle Beach, bro.
But sometimes it's a great restaurant, sometimes Denny's.
I mean, I'm sure once upon a time at the Barefoot Landing, Greg Norman's was the in place.
Next year.
25 fucking years ago.
Next year. I can't do it this year. But next year, it would be fun. Just for a long weekend. We sneak off. We go to Myrtle Beach. Because it's cheap, right? And you know what? You can pretend I'm going to play a round of golf. But in reality, we go eat a place like this or something like that.
That's the thing. When you go to Myrtle Beach, you do play a round of golf.
Okay, we'd golf. But, because it would be...
I know somebody can get cheap rooms there.
You can get cheap rooms there by throwing a rock at it.
No, $50 I'm talking rooms. About nice place.
Oh.
The timeshares we've got there. It's nice.
Yeah. We'll do that. It's fun.
Oh. Of course you'll get away.
I can do that, man.
How could you do that? You have something every weekend.
That's true.
You're a busy man.
I enjoy it.
You've got multiple children.
Yes, but only one does anything.
Oh, my Lord.
But he does enough for six people, so. He's very important.
They all do things. They're all very important.
Luke isn't important.
How dare you?
How dare Luke? Maggie? Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was funny that we were leaving
Henry's. Until she starts doing things.
It was, we were leaving Henry's. Well, Becky had them, and I took William to his game. And so Becky was leaving Henry's basketball game, and it was Henry, Luke, and Maggie. And Henry was coming. Those three kids were coming back, and Henry was watching those two while Becky came into William's game, which was longer than Henry's. But so Maggie was acting like a horse's ass, not wanting to go to the car. And so who parents her and chews her out? Henry. Henry chewed her out in the parking lot and said, I expect more from you, and I expect you to behave better than this.
I thought Henry was afraid of her.
Apparently it wasn't in that moment. She did not appreciate that, but it doesn't matter.
I'm sure she got back at him.
No. She did try to...
Maggie runs the house.
She did try to fight him. It was hilarious. It was his Christmas gift, and she started opening it, and Henry goes, Maggie, that's... Becky goes, Maggie, that's Henry's. Give me that. And she gives it to Henry. Maggie got so mad, she stood up, stomped her feet, and balled her fist, and started walking towards Henry, and Henry looks at her and goes... Are you coming to fight me, Maggie? And he almost like started laughing, and then she turns around and walks back. But it's like, don't do that.
Well, he probably shouldn't laugh at her because she'll come back with a weapon.
Yeah, but
she might. No, she will knife him.
I had to explain to William, don't fuck with Henry.
Just don't poke the tiger.
Well, Henry doesn't.
Not Henry. Well, don't poke Maggie.
I know he would never hurt Maggie, but William.
No. Don't incite her.
William will antagonize Henry, and I'm like. William, Henry is really strong and really fit, and he really could rip your head off and stuff it up your ass. He really can do that. He has that ability. And, you know, he doesn't like you very much. Apparently, Henry pissed William off, and so William, as revenge, had Henry's cell phone. Don't know how he got it. And Henry's girlfriend had texted him, and William texted from Henry's his phone, shut up. And that would really broke up Henry. He was really upset. And I was drinking Kirkland Signature Bordeaux. And so I had a very stern conversation with William. Very stern. Probably some expletives. Why we don't do that. And we're not here to get revenge. The only person that can get revenge in this house is me. I'm allowed to get revenge because I can do it. You guys can't get revenge. Anyway, so Becky goes to Henry. Henry was really, really, really upset. She goes, why don't you call your girlfriend and talk to her and tell her that you have a dumb brother? Because she has a dumb brother too. And so guess what Henry did? Called his girlfriend, explained that he had a dumb brother. It all worked out just fine. And love is strong, Scott. I know Scott is against...
I'm against 10-year-old 7 boyfriend and girlfriend.
Well, he's very serious girlfriend.
I'm very against
it. I'm sure they'll be married in the next few years. So, folks. Lord. Yeah, I know. It's just the way it is, Scott. Soccer career derailed because of love.
I'm afraid of. I've got priorities straight.
Scott's living vicariously through my son.
No, you are.
No, I'm not. I can't play soccer. It's all him.
Oh, my Lord.
Scott, if I was a soccer player and then my son's a soccer player, I would be vicariously living through him. I was not a soccer player. It's like so-and-so is playing for... Yeah, and so-and-so's father was a fucking professional soccer player in Morocco. Henry, your father was not a professional soccer player in Morocco. I played in the third grade. Does that help you? But I broke my thumb, so I didn't finish out the season. Nevertheless, folks. For Rob the Wine Guy, I do drink. I drink that. So, Scott, if Henry wants to go professionally drinking wine, he's got some pedigree. But nevertheless, if you want to have a lewd, perverted podcast, the pedigree's there. I mean, really.
It is there.
It's there. That'll be Luke.
The steps have been put in place for them to follow.
Luke will have a lewd, you know, drinking podcast when he's 13, but that's okay. Oh, actually, William will, but William won't cuss. He won't be lewd. He'll just be drinking when he's like 15. William asks, though. I already talked about that, but William wants to be on the wine bowl.
Luke's going to run the world. Maggie is going to
Well, Trump ran the world, didn't he?
You know the evil guy in Minions?
Yeah.
That's going to be Maggie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's mean. So for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.